Hey, entrepreneurs. For the next few weeks, we are rerunning some of my favorite episodes from the very beginning of Problem Solvers, along with updates about what's happened since our show aired. This episode you're about to hear is actually the very first episode of the show. It was literally the pilot, the thing I put together as a test to see if we wanted to make a show like this. And it's also the show that taught me the word disintermediation, which comes in handy more often than you think. I hope you enjoy. This originally aired in July of 2017, and stay tuned until the end when I catch up with Jaren, the subject of this episode, to find out what's happening today. Okay, here we go. From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Almost every day I open my inbox and I get a pitch from a company calling itself the Uber of this or that, the Uber of lawn care, the Uber of bespoke suits, and I have to admit, most of the time I'm skeptical that a company like this will survive. That's because they're all going to face what I like to call the handy problem, and few of them will have a solution. So what is the handy problem? I call it that because, well, I gave that company a problem. Handy, as you might know, is like the Uber of house cleaners. You sign up and it'll send you someone to clean your home. My wife and I used the service a few years ago when we had a baby and no longer had time to clean our apartments ourselves, and we were pretty happy with the result. A different cleaner would show up every time, and some were better than others, but they all basically got the job done. And then one day, a cleaner came, did a great job, and before she left, she handed us her business card and said that if we hired her directly rather than through Handy, she'd give us a better price. And that's a good business strategy for her, right? I mean, after all, when she's booked through Handy, the company takes a cut of her fee. If she books directly with us, she doesn't lose that cut and can give us part of it and still make more money. So it's less expensive for us and more money for her. And frankly, because we liked her work, we'd like to build a relationship directly with her. And so in this equation, neither side was incentivized to keep doing business with Handy. We canceled our membership with the company and have been using this same cleaning woman for years. Almost every company calling itself the Uber of this or that will face this problem. These companies are connectors. They create a large pool of people who are offering the same service and then attract customers looking for that service, and then they just put the two together. But how do you stay relevant once that connection is made? How do you be the kind of company that people just keep wanting to use, that people just won't cut out? Jaren Galinsky figured it out, and so today, we're going to tell his story. We'll get into it right after this word from our sponsor. Have you ever thought of learning a new language? It's kind of a game changer for an entrepreneur. You're able to connect with more potential partners, clients, customers, and travel more easily too. That's why there's Pimsleur, a conversational method of learning a new language. Pimsleur isn't a game or something you need to interact with a screen to progress through. It's an audio program, which you listen to like a podcast while you go about your daily tasks, running, cleaning, whatever. The program walks you step by step into a language, building your skills and having you repeat words and sentences back. I tried the first Spanish lesson, and it starts so simply with you just saying, excuse me, to someone. Pimsleur is used by the FBI, Homeland Security, State Department, Fortune 500 companies, and more, and the company says you can reach an intermediate level in just 30 days. But don't just take their word for it. Try the full course absolutely free for 7 days, risk-free. You don't have anything to lose by trying, but you have everything to gain. A new language, a new perspective, a new understanding of other cultures. To sign up, go to pimspeaks.com/solvers. That's pimspeaks.com/solvers. Okay, let's get back to the story.
My name is Jaren Galinsky, and I'm the founder and CEO of Story Hunter. Story Hunter is a platform that connects media companies and brands to freelance video producers and journalists in 180 countries.
So basically, if you work at the New York Times and you need to find a professional video creator in Cairo to film a protest, Story Hunter will help you find that person. And since launching, it's become the go-to tool for enormous companies. Al Jazeera, The New York Post, Reuters, CNN International, Airbnb, Starbucks, Zillow, the Red Cross, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they all use it pretty much exclusively when producing videos. And Jaron takes the handy problem really seriously. So seriously, in fact, that he uses the big fancy actual term for it, which isn't the handy problem. It's this. Disintermediation. It means reduction in the use of intermediaries between producers and consumers. And Jaron has a philosophy on how to handle disintermediation.
It's a pain in the butt to disintermediate us.
But when he first started his company, he wasn't thinking about disintermediation at all. In fact, he had a completely different business model that wouldn't even put him at risk of disintermediation. And that's because Jaron didn't start as an entrepreneur. He was just a guy looking to solve a problem in his own industry.
I myself was a freelance video journalist working in the Middle East mainly, and always needed to find editors and new clients, but didn't really have a marketplace or any access to those clients, and basically wanted to solve that problem for myself. And at the same time, was seeing what was going on in the media world, where all these foreign bureaus were basically getting shut down because media companies can no longer afford to maintain them, and felt that freelance was the future of media, like it has become the future of many other industries. And I felt like nobody else was building this platform. I never really wanted to be an entrepreneur in that sense. I was always happy doing freelance journalism, but I felt that this was so necessary for the industry. I looked around and didn't see anybody else doing it and figured I might as well give it a shot.
And at first, because he's a journalist, he thinks of his startup like it's a small media company. He figures that he'll go out and commission short documentaries, and then he'll sell them to bigger media companies. If news breaks in Russia, say, he'd hire people there to shoot footage and then contact CNN and see if they'd like to buy it. So Jaron raises some money from family and friends, and then he goes to a tech conference in New York and tries to find clients.
I didn't even have a brand name. I didn't have much of anything, but I was able to work a deal with Yahoo at their smoothie bar. They were giving out free smoothies, and I started hanging out around there, and I happened to meet somebody from Yahoo Latin America, and we just hit it off, and I told them what I was building, and I said, you know, I already have a very sizable network, and I did have a decent network, but it wasn't, you know, much to write home about. But he was comfortable enough to give us a shot and basically pre-ordered 200 video documentaries from Latin America. And so there we had demand.
Let's pause to appreciate that, by the way. This guy has a great idea, but he's barely proven that he can pull it off, and he doesn't even have a name for his company. And now Yahoo is putting in an order for 200 videos. You know what that is? That's the power of meeting face-to-face and proving yourself as a person. People respond to you, not just your business. And it's also the power of a strong stomach, because Jaron just kept hanging around drinking Yahoo's free smoothies as an excuse to keep talking. How many smoothies did you consume during that?
They were really small cups, so I had like maybe 10.
It's a solid commitment to the smoothie.
Yeah, no, they were delicious. They were really good. I recommend that for any company in an event. You will really stand out if you have smoothies.
So Jaron gets to work. He names his company Story Hunter, and then he builds a platform for freelancers to pitch its stories. That way, he's got a lot of ideas coming in, and he knows what he can commission and create and sell. And Yahoo is happy with its first order, and Story Hunter makes some sales to YouTube, AOL, Newsweek. Clients just keep growing, and in the first year in business, it pulls in more than $1 million in revenue. And here's the thing Jaron is super excited about. He is pulling in really favorable deals for the videos his company is creating. So because Story Hunter was commissioning this stuff, it technically owns all the video footage, and it would sell first runs, which is to say that Yahoo would buy the first opportunity to show that video to its own viewers. And then after that, Jaron can resell that video to someone else. He can keep making money off of the same stuff. So all is well, and Jaron just builds a multi-million dollar company, and that's that, right? Oh, no, it's never that easy in entrepreneurism.
We were not optimistic about the future of it. We thought there's no barriers to entry for media companies nowadays. It's very easy to start your own media company. how are we going to differentiate ourselves?
That's a tough question. What makes him any better than anyone else who's commissioning and selling videos? And also, it turns out that those sweet relicensing deals he'd worked out really didn't matter all that much. You know, it wasn't like he was hiring freelancers to make videos of beautiful brides at weddings or herds of gazelles roaming around or whatever other things he could sell over and over again as B-roll to hundreds of companies. This was news footage. Who wants a month-old video of a protest? It had a short shelf life. And soon, new clients started saying the same thing to him. They said, hey, can we just have access to your freelancers? Like, forget all these prepackaged videos you're making. You've got a platform to connect to freelancers. And can we just use that?
And we were hearing that so much that we just basically came to the conclusion that we had to make a decision. Either we are going to open this platform up and become a technology company that serves the media industry, or we're going to own the technology, not share it with anybody else, and just become this media company with a huge unfair advantage.
I want to make sure that you follow that. So here's what he's saying. Okay, we have two choices as a company. We could be a media company that hires freelancers to make videos, or we could become a technology company, basically the Uber of video, and we'll just help brands connect with video freelancers.
Now, I'll never forget making that decision with three other people in the room, my three teammates, and I went to our board, which was just a couple people actually at the time, and said, what I thought we should do. And unanimously, we all felt that the cool and risky and crazy thing was to build this tech company, even though none of us really had a background in building tech companies. And that's what we did.
Now, here's the moment when Story Hunter just changes, when the kinds of problems that Jaren has to deal with are going to be totally new. In January of 2015, the change begins. The company stops commissioning videos and instead becomes a tool that media companies use to find freelancers. And they automated the whole thing so that if you're CNN and you need to find someone in Cairo, you can post that job and be instantly connected to a freelancer who's available there. This makes for a very different kind of business model, of course. Rather than sell its own videos, Story Hunter would now be making money by taking a percentage of what a media company pays a freelancer, just like Uber earns a portion of every ride someone pays for. Story Hunter just makes that connection. And this change comes with some big risks.
So what did you do when you made that decision? Did you reach out to all your clients and say, okay, now we have a completely different service to offer you?
Yeah, of course. We did that. And some of them were actually, it was not actually good for them because they didn't have the in-house talent to actually connect with these freelancers and get the same quality that we were able to get with those freelancers. So they didn't have the in-house capabilities, and actually we were no longer a good product for them. So it was kind of disheartening in some instances.
So Jaren lost some clients, which was freaky, but he stuck with it because he was sure that this new business model was better in the long run. And he was right. Whereas before, some media companies would order videos from him, now some media companies decided to use Story Hunter as the way that they connected with freelancers. And that's how we get back to this big word, disintermediation, the handy problem. Jaren knew that he would face it, and in fact, he almost immediately saw instances in which a brand and a freelancer made a connection and then stopped using Story Hunter. So he needed to come up with a solution to keep them both inside his system.
The way we prevent it is really through the freelancer. We found over and over again that the freelancers are really our most loyal advocates.
Story Hunter just started loading up on benefits that it knew freelancers would love. Here's one. Story Hunter guarantees that freelancers will get paid for their assignments within 30 days. Now, that's huge in freelancing because clients are always late on paying. But in this instance, Story Hunter will pay the freelancer directly and then collect the cash from, say, the cable TV network that hired the freelancer. And here's another one. Story Hunter introduced reviews that every freelancer gets.
Every time that a freelancer completes a project, their rating gets better, presuming that they did good work, and they're more likely to get future projects as a result, and their reviews getting better are getting better. So, you know, basically they see us as their portfolio and they want to keep building that portfolio.
But while freelancers are Story Hunter's greatest advocates, the company didn't want to just focus on perks for them, of course. So Jaron spent a long time trying to understand what problems he could solve for big media companies too.
And what we realized just by talking to the clients, you know, that they really need an all-in-one solution that is hiring, but also a better communication tool. Like, we have to be better than WhatsApp. We have to be better than Skype for communicating to freelancers. And we have to have a better project management system than whatever they're using, DePulse or other types of software. And we have to have a better payment system than their payroll team. And then contracts. We have to have an easy way to send contracts, upload release forms. So basically, it was all these tangential experiences that are part of freelance management, which is the term that we're calling the whole system that we built. It's a freelance management system, FMS. And by providing that to the clients, we realized that it's just a so much easier and a much more compelling solution than just giving them the talent that they need. If they have all these other tools, it really makes no sense to go outside of Story Hunter, and you're going to just save so much time and so much money over the course of a year just sticking with the platform, and it pays for itself.
And it's worked. Story Hunter doesn't reveal its revenue figures, but Jaron says that they're in the millions every year and growing, and they've worked with thousands of freelancers. So after hearing Jaron's story, let's ask ourselves, what is the key to disintermediation? How do you beat the handy problem? Here's the answer. You have to be more important than the connection you make. Your company may be built to make the connections, but that connection is actually just the starting point. It's the reason someone first comes to you. But they'll only come back again if you can show that you truly understand their needs and that you have solutions that matter. You have to make it, as Jaron says, a pain in the butt to leave you. All right, so that was that. Now it's me a year and a half later, and I called Jaron. I should say, you know, sort of reveal here, Jaron and I are actually old friends, and he was kind enough to sit down and let me interview him as a test for what then became the first episode of this show. So anyway, I asked Jaron to hop on the phone. As it turns out, it was his birthday, but he was happy to tell me what's happened since with Story Hunter. And I began by asking him, what more has come of the freelancer management system, which was his answer to keeping people inside the platform?
We really have focused on that a lot in the time since we spoke. One of the things we built, which is a first in our industry, is a reporting dashboard for freelancers to track their payments, see when they're going to get paid. And it's an exact date as opposed to like a range. They know exactly what day they're going to get paid, and we always deliver on that date. And analysis of how much they're making. So, you know, they can actually analyze their business the way businesses do. Freelancers are essentially micro entrepreneurs and need the same suite of tools, essentially, so they can, you know, analyze how they're doing. And at the end of the year, it also makes, you know, life a lot easier because they can just download a report and be able to send it to their accountant or anybody who's helping them with their books.
And what else has been going on since a year and a half ago?
It's a lot. We've actually kind of refocused the business on, you know, the core of what we do. So in terms of building product, we've tweaked our algorithm considerably to make the matching experience a lot better between buyers and content providers. We have focused on the payments, the freelancer onboarding experience, the buyer onboarding experience. Really gotten down to what makes us special and what makes us unique, which is, you know, the core matching experience, the tools, and then I think, you know, focusing on community. We've expanded from, I think when we spoke, we were probably at around 15,000 or so freelancers. I got to check the numbers, but, you know, we've grown to now nearly 25,000 in 190 countries. And, you know, I think really separate ourselves from the pack when it comes to just how global we are. And indeed, you know, many companies are using us precisely for that global reach. So
one of the cooler clients that have started using us in the last year is a company called MyHeritage DNA. They're basically like a DNA matching service online where you can kind of see who your relatives are and just learn about your genetic and ancestral history. And they're actually finding relatives that had never known about each other. And they're in the most random places in the world. And they've been doing a video for every one of these meetings that are happening as a result of their DNA service. And because they have no idea where this is happening, they've been using us to basically find a videographer in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania to go and film these incredible encounters.
Is there one thing, I'm sure there's lots of things, but like one big thing that jumps out that freelancers were really looking for from you guys that you were you added more recently?
Well, look, it's really the main value freelancers are getting from us. Number one is still gigs. You know, that's really the number one thing. You know, that's why people come to us. That's why they tell their friends to join Story Hunter. We're getting video creators paid through real work opportunities. And so that's still, you know, our bread and butter. And we've grown that considerably. So I think last year we were doing about 400 projects a month. We're now averaging more than 700 projects a month. So, you know, almost doubled, you know, the size of the marketplace in the last year, and you know, expecting to double again next year, if not do better.
So there it is. You incentivize freelancers to stay on your platform, and then you just grow. All right, let's bring in the outro music here. I don't really know how to end these episodes where we're replaying things. It feels weird to just dive into the outro stuff. Hey, if you have an episode that you really loved from some of our early days, let me know. Maybe we'll replay it and run an update. I love checking in with the folks that we've had on the show. So much interesting stuff has happened with them. You can contact me and also sign up for my newsletter and check out, you know, lots of other great tools for entrepreneurs at my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, or of course, entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurial needs. We will be back next week. See ya.